The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So what I'd like to offer in these 4 weeks are some instructions of a slightly different style of meditation practice, a practice that I've learned primarily from my Burmese teacher, Sayadaw Utejaniya. The practice is a form of open awareness, of receptive awareness, sometimes called choiceless awareness. I like receptive awareness as a kind of a name, because as I discovered in my own practice exploring this kind of receptivity, I began to realize that while I wasn't choosing what to pay attention to, some part of my mind was choosing what to pay attention to. And so choiceless didn't quite seem like the right name for it. So I would like to explore this practice of receptive, open receptive awareness with you over these next 4 weeks. Usually I teach this style of practice on retreat, and I haven't so much tried teaching it in a weekly format like this, so this is a little bit of an experiment for me to explore offering it in this form. So we'll see how it goes. So all meditation practices serve some kind of purpose. Sometimes that purpose is to calm the mind down, to tranquilize the mind. Sometimes that purpose is to just begin to understand what is happening in our being, to begin to understand what our human experience is, how it works, why we struggle. And I would say that roughly we could say mindfulness practices are the set of practices that explore the what of our experience, what's going on, how's it happening. And that concentration practices are kind of a tool to settle the mind, to tranquilize the mind, and then once the mind is settled or tranquil, one can do many things with it. One can simply continue to cultivate that concentration, or one could kind of shift into a mindfulness practice at that point. And so often in our tradition, in this Burmese Theravada tradition, or the Theravada tradition that we explore here, there's a form of settling the mind or concentrating the mind that's taught before we open to the full range of our human experience. Often we're taught to attend to the breath for a while, and then as the mind settles down in attending to the breath, we begin to open up and explore the fuller range of our human experience. And so we move kind of from a settling and concentration practice to a mindfulness practice. The practice that I learned from Sayadaw Utejaniya as an open awareness practice begins not with settling the mind on one particular experience, but with exploring what does it mean to open to our human experience right from the beginning. What is that? How might that work? How can we explore our human experience? Sometimes I call this style of practice your mind 101. Because as you turn and start watching your experience, you really get to know what your mind is up to. You get to understand what's going on in there. And the learning, we could say that for mindfulness practice, the learning about what is happening in our minds is part of the purpose of meditation, that we learn about what's going on in our hearts, in our minds, to serve us to understand how we can move away from habits and patterns and familiar conditioning that tends to repeat patterns of struggle and suffering in our lives. and how to begin to shift towards choices that allow us to make more, make different decisions, let's say, make decisions of, refraining from a habitual action, for instance, maybe refraining from, if we have enough mindfulness in our experience, we might be able to refrain from blurting out a reaction out of habit and saying something that we might regret later. And so mindfulness helps us to understand our minds, and I sometimes think of it as lowering the horizon of the subconscious in our mind so that we can begin to see some of the things that motivate us, some of the intentions that have us taking actions that we sometimes we regret. So the practice of mindfulness supports this understanding and begins to create the condition for more choice in our lives. And as I said, you know, there's many different styles of meditation practice. This is just one. This is just one of many forms. I have found this style to be particularly helpful in my own practice, which is why I would like to offer it. But it in no way in teaching this do I want to imply that the other meditation practices are not useful, because I myself have studied and practiced in many, many different forms, many different styles of meditation, and I've found value and benefit in all of them. And as I grow in my understanding of the tools of meditation, I'm finding that there are ways in which some aspects of one practice can be used then to support some aspects of another practice. So we can begin to use the tools from one to support the other. So for these 4 weeks, I am going to be pretty steadily discussing this particular form of meditation practice, which is not a directed attention at all. It is primarily a receptive awareness practice. It's primarily not choosing what we're going to pay attention to, but rather we kind of settle back and let experience come to us, rather than having a sense of me choosing what to pay attention to. It's kind of we let go of being in the driver's seat and see what's arriving. What's arriving? I just watched a program last night on attention and the brain and discovered that there are two completely different areas of the brain responsible for these two different kinds of attention. I can't remember which part was responsible for which, but the choosing, like right now, choose to look at something in the room, maybe look at one of these vents. That choice is a kind of directed attention. It is controlled by a certain part of the brain. But then as we're sitting here, maybe we are looking at that. Maybe the sound of the train goes by and suddenly we are listening to the train already. We didn't decide, oh, I'm going to stop looking at that and listen to the train. It just happened. We could call that undirected attention. We're not choosing to do it consciously. And this I understand from this program I watched last night, is in a completely different part of the brain. It's actually in a kind of a more foundational part of the brain, a lower core part of the brain. I think it's a part of the brain that's designed to take care of us. It's designed to recognize there's information that we need to know, coming in, pay attention, that kind of thing. So this is what we're interested in exploring with this style of practice. Rather than picking something to pay attention to, we're interested in exploring a receptive awareness. So this style of practice that I'm offering from Sayadaw Utejaniya has, you know, it's really a very simple practice to describe in a way. I can describe it in a few sentences, and then I'm going to spend about 30 minutes telling you what it means. So it's simple to describe, and yet it's helpful to have the context of what that means. And so the basic practice is we relax, and then we explore recognizing awareness, recognizing that awareness is happening, receiving what that awareness is aware of already, not picking something to be aware of, but we relax, we recognize we're aware, and then what is that awareness already knowing? So having this stance of receiving, settling back and seeing what comes to us. So relaxing, recognizing the awareness, receiving experience, and then the fourth part is from time to time, we check in, how are we with what is happening? So there, you know, the what we're noticing, what our attention is drawn to, we could call that the what of our experience. That what of our experience is going to be our human experience. It's going to be sights and sounds and smells and tastes and touch and thoughts and emotions and moods, things going on in our mind states. There's going to be the whole range of our human experience, that what. And yet, as the experience unfolds, as we go through our lives, as we receive experience, we have relationship to that experience. We like some things, we don't like some things, we have opinions about things, we have agendas about things, some things we get disconnected from. So we have different relationships with the different experiences. And often those relationships are subconscious. We're not so consciously aware of those relationships. And so that's another piece of this practice. We check in with, we know what's going on, perhaps, by receiving. And then from time to time, we also kind of actively check, and how am I with that? What's my relationship to that? So those are the instructions. And now I'm going to say something about each of those four pieces, because it's helpful to set some context here for this. So the first piece, relaxation. Relaxation is such an important piece of meditation, of any form of meditation, actually. As we relax, as we allow relaxation in our bodies, in our minds, it creates the conditions for the awareness to kind of naturally take in what's happening in the present moment. So we're practicing mindfulness here, and a rough definition of mindfulness might be something like knowing what's happening in the present moment while it's happening. So that capacity to know what's happening in the present moment while it's happening is a natural human capacity. It's not something that we create by doing meditation, but it's something that we reinforce. It's something that we cultivate. And this the relaxation that we do allows us to kind of enter into a space where that kind of natural functioning of knowing what's happening in the present moment while it's happening can just be happening. We don't have to try to work so hard to do it as we relax. When the mind is not relaxed, the body is not relaxed. And often when the body is not relaxed, it feeds back and makes the mind not so relaxed. And so if we can relax the body, relax the mind, if we can relax the body, it helps relax the mind. And when the mind relaxes, it tends to land in the present moment. A tense mind tends to be caught in thoughts of past or future or concerns about the present. And so as the mind lets go of those concerns, as the mind relaxes, it lands much more naturally right here in the present moment. And so relaxation is a very supportive tool. And yet we have to, in relaxing, not go too far and fall asleep, not go so far that we just drift out into spaciness. So the relaxation supports us landing into being here in the present moment. And as we land there, then we need to have this kind of balance of alertness to go with that relaxation. So we explore balance of relaxation and alertness. They're not opposites, actually. They can support each other. So relaxation is the first piece. The second piece is the receptive, the awareness, being aware. The basic tool, and I'm going to talk about this being aware through exploring the three factors of meditation that the Buddha talks about. He talks about mindfulness, effort, and concentration. And so I want to talk about how those three pieces come together in this receptive awareness practice that we're going to be exploring. The basic tool is awareness, mindfulness. Mindfulness, awareness of what's happening while it's happening. Right now, do you know that you're aware? Notice, do you know that you're aware? The answer, if you're listening, is probably yes, you know that you're aware. But you may not be quite so sure, actually, what that means. It might be a little mysterious. It's like, yeah, I know I'm aware, but how do I know I'm aware? Well, I know I'm aware because I'm seeing things. But there may not necessarily be a clear recognition of awareness itself. And yet, there is some way in which you know that you are aware. This is the first piece of the exploration of mindfulness in this practice. We actually orient to recognizing that we are aware. Since in this practice we are receiving experience, not directing our attention to anything particular, as we explore receiving experience, we will be in a flow of many different kinds of experience. The experience will be changing moment after moment. And so sometimes we need something to help us recognize, well, am I actually mindful or not? I know that I'm, you know, it's like there's hearing and there's seeing and there's body sensation, but it feels so different to have such a wide variety of experience going on that sometimes we're not even sure we're aware. And so this question, this checking in, am I aware? This is kind of our guide for this practice. We can check in. I know I'm aware. Okay. Awareness is here. I may not exactly know how I know I'm aware, but I know that I'm aware. That's actually enough right now. And then, what are you aware of? And so mindfulness in this practice comprises both sides. We recognize that we're aware, and we recognize what is arriving in that awareness. What is being received into awareness? And so right now, you know, are you aware? Are you aware? And what is obvious for you right now? Just don't go looking. It's just like, what's the most obvious thing that you're aware of? Maybe it's seeing, or maybe it's hearing, or maybe it's some body sensation that's particularly strong. Or maybe it's a thought that's happening, or a mood, or an emotion. So are you aware? And what's obvious? What's obvious? again, this receptive style of awareness. We are taking in the entirety of our human experience. And so as we relax and settle in, and sometimes here I use the word receive experience, receive experience. As we receive experience, it may be for a few moments, it may be a body sensation or a sound now. Maybe another body sensation or now seeing. Relax. Are you aware? What aspect of human experience is most obvious in this moment? And how about in this moment? And how about in this moment? And now? And now? So this distinction between directing the attention and receiving, it's an important one to understand a little bit, and also to recognize that when I first started practicing mindfulness, I thought that if I was picking what I was going to be paying attention to, like the breath, if I was picking it, then I was being mindful. That essentially choosing what to pay attention to, I thought that's what mindfulness was. And then as I began to learn this style of practice, I realized mindfulness and that directing of the attention are two different things in the mind. They're two different functions. They're two different things the mind can do. We can choose to pay attention to something. And we can know it's happening in the present moment. We can know what's happening in the present moment. They're different flavors of the functioning of the mind. And I can describe to you how they're different through, something we do every day or many of us do every day is to drive. And when we get in the car and we drive, we're driving down the road and often are not mindful. We are lost in thought. And yet, the factor of attention is working to navigate the road, even as we are not mindful. So something is paying attention to the road and noticing if somebody cuts in front of you quickly. There's a process at work of attention. But our mind is not on that process all the time. In fact, we can be in some elaborate story, completely lost, and arrive at our destination and then realize, wow, I don't remember that drive. A little scary sometimes. So attention is that capacity of our mind to direct and, take in experience and do something with it. We can do that consciously, like by choosing to look at something or choosing to hear something, or it can happen kind of automatically. So attention, I sometimes say attention is kind of like the breath in a way. We can choose to breathe in and choose to breathe out. So we can direct the breath in that way. Or we can forget about the breath altogether and the breath will breathe by itself. And so attention is kind of like that. It is amenable to our conscious control and it also will do its thing whether or not we are directing it. So mindfulness and attention are different things. We can be mindful of just what is, of that kind of, that functioning of the attention that's just naturally kind of doing its thing, that the attention that's naturally taking care of us in a way. the attention that's orienting to the world and real and kind of, oh, that pay attention to that, pay attention to that, where it's not up to us, but it's kind of up to our conditioned being, the conditions of our life, along with the conditions of being a human being, create certain directions for that attention to go. We can be mindful either when we direct the attention or when the attention directs itself. So it's helpful to recognize that it's not necessary to direct the attention in order for mindfulness to be working. So sometimes this comes up in the kind of more familiar meditation practices when we're paying attention to something. If we're paying attention to the breath, for instance, we're paying attention to the breath and suddenly a loud sound goes by, a motorcycle goes by, and our attention is on the motorcycle. That's that undirected attention at work. And we can recognize that the attention has shifted to the motorcycle and just be aware of that. But often in that form of practice where we have the relationship, oh, I'm not being mindful because the mind was pulled away from the breath to the motorcycle. Let me come back to the breath. In this style of practice, rather than thinking there's any experience that's more important than any other, if for a little while the breath is kind of what's obvious and we hear the sound of a motorcycle, it's kind of like we follow the awareness. The attention has been drawn to the motorcycle. Rather than trying to stay with the breath, it's like, oh, the attention wants to hear the motorcycle? That's what we'll do with the mindfulness. We'll just follow the attention. And then that maybe goes away, and then the attention picks up on something else, and then something else, and then something else. And so we end up kind of feeling like we're following the attention. I use that language sometimes, follow the attention. As we cultivate this receptive awareness, a way that relaxation comes into this is in how we make effort. So the second piece, or the second factor of mindfulness that the Buddha talked about, mindfulness, effort, and concentration, the three tools of meditation that are found in the Eightfold Path. So the way we explore effort in this practice is, let's just explore something here right now. And so right now, relax. And are you aware? So just notice the awareness. Notice that you know that you're aware. And then right now, allow your attention to take in the sensations of your hips touching the chair or cushion or bench. Allow your attention to take in your hands touching each other or touching wherever they're contacting. Allow your attention to take in however your feet are, the contact of your feet. How hard is it to do each of those? Was it hard for anybody? This is usually in that it's pretty easy for a moment. I mention something. You know, notice the sensation of your lips touching. And there it is. It's not like it takes a lot of effort. We have to point our minds at something and try to feel it. It's like, notice your hands again. There's some experience of sensation there. Your feet. Your hips. Notice hearing for a few moments. Just taking in the sounds in the room. It's not very hard to be mindful for a moment. To be aware of what's happening in the present moment while it's happening for a split second. Or even a couple split seconds, for a few moments, not too hard to know that. What is more challenging is doing that continuously. And that's what we're asked to do in meditation, is keep remembering to be mindful. Keep remembering that. And what we often do with that, realizing we have to keep remembering, it's almost like we sit down at the beginning of a period of meditation and we think, I'm going to try to be mindful now. I'm going to pay attention for the next 30 minutes. I'm going to try to be mindful. And it's kind of like we try to pick up the effort we need to be mindful for the whole 30 minutes right in that first few moments of meditation. It's like going to be mindful. And so there's a kind of a bearing in or a kind of a trying to connect, a trying to be with. And what I'd like to propose, especially for this style of, actually for any style of practice, that another way of approaching this would be, rather than trying to be mindful for a long time, just make enough effort to be mindful for a second, a half a second. What's happening now? Can you be aware now? And then do it again, and again, and again, and again. No need to make heavy effort in any moment, just the need to remember. And then do it again, a light touch, moment after moment after moment after moment. I talked about this relaxing and receiving and this light touch of effort on Sunday morning. I don't know if some of you were here on Sunday, but I also on Sunday gave an analogy about this light touch of effort that I think is helpful to convey the sense of this. And it's an analogy of riding a scooter, and not a motor scooter, but one of those kick scooters that the kids ride, those little razor scooters. It's got a little platform with two wheels. The platform's low to the ground, and it's got a handle you hold on to. And, you know, you have to balance on those two thin wheels. And in order to balance, you need some momentum. You can't just stand on it. Usually, you can't just stand on it. You'll fall over if you're not moving. And so you need to get some momentum going. And to do that, you tap your foot down on the ground. Tap, tap, tap. You make kind of a number of light taps, and you get going, the momentum gets going, and then you can ride for a little ways. You could at the beginning, like put your foot down and do one really big hard push, but that's probably not going to create a stability of the ride. You know, it'll be a little bit like you might even fall over if you push really hard and push yourself over. So it's more helpful to do these light taps, tap, 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 tap. And then you get some momentum, you get the sense of what it means to ride the scooter, what that momentum feels like, and you get a sense of what it feels like as the scooter gets a little wobbly, and then you put your foot down again and tap some more. So the kind of effort we make in meditation is kind of like that. In a moment, you notice your mindfulness. Oh, I'm aware of what? And then that's just enough to know this moment. And then the next moment is like another light tap. You notice another moment and another light tap, just moment after moment. And in this practice, the light taps initially may be the use of just little reminder questions. Am I aware? Of what? Am I aware of what? I'll talk a little bit more about those questions in a minute. And so the questions are just a little like light taps. And as we do that, a little bit of momentum of mindfulness starts to build. We kind of can begin to ride the mindfulness a little bit. We begin to get familiar with when the feeling of mindfulness gets a little wobbly and remind ourselves again. So this is the kind of effort that we make here. It's a light touch, moment after moment after moment. This is really the work of our practice, and it's a little bit of like an art form in a way. how to apply that effort, how to just gently connect, gently reminding ourselves. So the questions, you know, am I aware? The question is not meant to be answered with thoughts. It's not meant to be thought about. The question is kind of just meant to orient the mind to curiosity of what's happening now in the present moment. And so the question, am I aware, is meant to just make you curious about, do I know that I'm aware? It begins to make us curious about the awareness itself. And then, what of what? What's obvious? That question, again, not to answer it with words, but just to kind of point us into what is being received? What is here in this moment? These questions aren't a necessary part of this practice, and yet they can be helpful as a way to orient you to some connection with the present moment. This, as you know, as I said earlier, this practice, we lose the touchstone or reference point, that's the word I was looking for, we lose the reference point of directing the attention to something. That often is helpful for us in meditations. If we're directing the attention to something, we often notice our mind has wandered because our attention's not on that thing. In this practice, our reference point is knowing that we're aware. And so that question, am I aware, helps us to recognize, yep, okay, still practicing, knowing that I'm here, I'm aware. And then of what? What's here? With this light touch of effort. The combination of the light effort and the mindfulness begins to create a momentum of mindfulness. And that momentum of mindfulness is a form of concentration. It's not the kind of concentration that we're most familiar with, which we get just by looking at some particular experience, by paying attention to one thing. That's our familiar way of concentrating the mind. We pay attention to one thing and just stay with that. In this practice, the concentration is more about a stable awareness than a stable object, a stable experience. In both kinds of concentration, the concentration comes because mindfulness is steady. In our usual familiar concentration, our mindfulness is steady on one thing, like the breath. In this form of concentration, our awareness is steady and knowing changing experience. The awareness is steady and not getting caught by that experience. It's not losing itself in thinking about that experience. It just knows moment after moment, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. It creates a form of concentration that has very similar qualities in some ways to the other kind of concentration. It creates a lot of joy and delight and tranquility in the mind. It's not tranquility of the experience. That's a big difference between the two kinds of concentration. When we concentrate on the breath, our whole experience gets very still often as we get more and more settled. In this practice, as we open to the full range of experience, the awareness gets still, but there's a lot happening. We are knowing sights and sounds and body sensation and a breath and a twinge in the knee and a thought and an emotion. It's very dynamic. And yet the stability can be felt in the awareness itself. The awareness is stable. So simply noticing what is happening in our experience, relaxing, receiving experience, knowing this is what's happening, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, not quite enough to help to kind of uncover habits, patterns, ways that our mind gets caught in struggle, in reactivity. To do that, we have to, because often those things are below our kind of conscious field of attention. And so we can be paying attention to something. We can be knowing, yep, there's pain in my knee. Yep, I know that. Unpleasant. That's boy, does that really hurt. Boy, I hate that. And we're not so aware of the fact that we hate it and that we're reacting to it. And so we need to begin to uncover the layers of reactivity in our mind, our relationship to experience. And that's actually beginning to uncover our relationship to experience is one of the real strengths of this particular practice. It begins to point us to views, ideas, things that are going on in our mind that we may not be aware of. Things that are guiding our choices, having us respond and react to the world without our consciously knowing it's happening. And so what we do from time to time in this practice is consciously check in. Okay, this is what's happening in the present moment. How am I with that? Hearing this sound is happening in the present moment. And frustration. I'm frustrated by that sound. You know, sometimes if we have a relationship to meditation where we feel like we're supposed to be paying attention to something, we do get frustrated when sounds happen. We feel like, you know, why can't they control that dog or whatever? And don't they know there's a meditation center here when they rev their motorcycle, right? You know, things like that. We get frustrated. What this practice asks us to do is to begin to recognize our relationship to experience. And in our relationship to experience is often where our struggles lie. When we're struggling in experience, when we feel like something's wrong or we're unhappy with something, there's some relationship to experience that is useful to begin to explore. And so we can begin to check into that. A question we can use here is, how am I with this? Or other questions, you know, what's my relationship to this? What's my attitude is the question that Sayadaw Utejaniya uses. What's my attitude? We might have an attitude or we might be in relationship to something wanting more of it, liking it, you know, kind of leaning into it. We like what's happening. We want it to continue. We might be in relationship of not liking, of aversion, of wanting to get rid of it or stop it. We might be in relationship of confusion, of disconnection, of some kind of agenda. Something or other has to happen. Or we might be in relationship to experience. This is okay. This is no problem. Roughly, when we kind of recognize our relationship to experience, they'll fall into one of four large categories. Wanting, so that greed, wanting something to happen, wanting something to continue. Aversion, wanting something to go away, wanting to get rid of something. Delusion, disconnection, confusion, opinions. Or balance of mind, ease of mind, non-reactivity, okayness. So as we check our relationship, it will probably be in one of those four categories. But sometimes when we, especially at the beginning, as we start checking our relationship to experience, it might not be so clear. And again, it's not to think about it. So we might drop in that question. We might drop the question in, what's my relationship? How am I with this? And not particularly know. Not get an answer. Not get a response of any kind. Again, we're not helpful to try to think about it. What's my relationship to this? Well, I guess, I know I usually don't like motors. So let's see, is it aversion? That's not what this question is suggesting. Sometimes I like to talk about these questions, and the three questions I've suggested here are, am I aware of what, and how am I with the what, or what's here, how am I with that? It's kind of like when we drop a question into our meditation, it's kind of like we drop a question into a pool that's still. We drop a pebble into a pool that's still, there will be ripples from that pebble. We just notice what the ripples are. We don't try to think about them or figure them out. Another way to frame this is like dropping in those questions is like ringing a doorbell and then waiting to see what answers the door. You're not trying to figure out what's on the other side of that door. You're just ringing the doorbell and seeing what answers. Sometimes nothing particular obvious answers. That's okay. Just go back at that point to, am I aware of what? If we notice some kind of attitude, some kind of relationship to experience, often the question there is, and then what do I do? I've noticed that there's this uncomfortable sensation in my knee and that I really am... I don't like it. I hate it, in fact. What do I do with that? It's kind of like the question or the attitude is broadening our awareness to now take in a little more of our experience than we knew was there before. And so you just continue. You notice, yep, am I aware? Yep, there's that pain. Oh, am I aware? Oh, there's that not liking. We just allow what we have become aware of to become one of the many things in the field of what's being received. And I will talk later about what to do if it's overwhelming, because there are, and I'll just say briefly now, you know, if our experience is overwhelming and it's like we notice that we hate something and that we're just like pulled into a rabbit hole of hatred, then it's not so helpful to try to just, oh, am I aware of hatred? Yes, I'm. We just get pulled into it. So we need some strategies at that point. Useful to use any strategy you can at that point. Familiar tools, familiar meditation techniques that you know to ground yourself in the present moment so you're not pulled away. So, am I aware of what? And what's my attitude from time to time? So, let's try it. Stand up and stretch maybe for a couple minutes because you've been sitting for a little while. So.